Sound of Hockey episode 275. We're calling this one the Yanni Gord episode. Why are we calling it? We've called episodes the Yanni Gord episode before, haven't we?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why are we calling it that this time, John? Curtis, why are we calling it that?
I think Curtis came up with this one.
Okay.
I did. Uh-huh. So do you remember the Kraken were in the playoffs last year?
That was last year.
Yeah. Yanni Gord had 275 minutes time on ice, most among forwards.
Uh-huh.
Last year in the playoffs. For the Kraken.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting stuff. this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL 2 Seattle on the X.
And Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hi there. Deep Sea Hockey on the X.
Hello.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Okay, we have a review to share, and then I just texted you guys. I don't want you to look at the text just yet.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, this is becoming a recurring theme about these reviews.
No, it's not the review.
Oh, okay.
The text is something for after the review.
Okay, got it.
But I don't want you to look at it because I want to get your live reaction.
Okay, cool.
Okay?
All right, we're in. Fair enough.
The review is actually an updated review. It is from Sounders Heart Squids, and it says, updated review, still 5 stars. About a year and a half ago, you might remember this, I sent in a review after I had just started listening to the podcast. I mentioned going through a ridiculous amount of older episodes in a short time and also complaining about the profanity horn scaring me while driving. I wanted to send an updated review specifically to share my appreciation for the new live music outro, which has been absolutely hilarious, parentheses, more musical theater, ! So at the same time, I'll say thank you for the new horn as well, because we did change the bleep horn to the actual Kraken bleep horn, which is a little less jarring. A listener / customer service, it says. I'm also the same person as the geophysics PhD student on Twitter, and I'll hopefully be graduating later this year. My roommate joked that I should add you all / the podcast to my dissertation acknowledgments to thank you for helping me get through the degree by keeping me company while I write terrible code, and I think I'm actually going to do it. If that's not a 5-star review, I don't know what is.
Oh man, I'm going to give him a 5-star review.
Finally, I think it's a her.
Sorry.
Finally, I'd like to advocate for another Yamamoto goal tweet catchphrase, wham bam thank you yam. Credit to user Crazy King Boomy from r/Kraken on Reddit, who I believe is originating this in the preseason. Thank you so much for always being a bright spot in my week, and stick taps for Andy. Lot to unpack there.
I know, it was very nice,
right?
Yeah.
First of all, probably don't do that in your dissertation, I would think. Right?
I've never done one. So,
I'm not sure what that means. I mean, if there's any risk of us like somehow giving you a lower grade.
Oh, yeah. Then definitely cut us out.
Leave that out.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
But I find it impressive that you could do any type of coding or any type of task while listening to a podcast. You know, it's hard for me to do that.
Well, I think about like I fall asleep to certain podcasts. They help me fall asleep. Mm. And so
ours?
Not our, sometimes ours.
Analytics Corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just put that on loop. But sometimes, maybe like for certain people, just the voices are easy to drown out, which makes me think that actually we're not that interesting and that helps this person, right?
But I feel like white noise podcasts probably do big ratings in the app store. So if we're white noise, that's probably good.
That sounds probably bad. But that's okay.
I know we're talking about coding, and I'm talking to two guys that I don't think code.
No, not particularly.
Would you make that can you listen to music in the same capacity? Or
not if it has lyrics. I have a hard time.
Lyrics?
Like working? Yeah. So like I can do like lo-fi music or something like that. Or for a little while, I was listening to like different language music, like French, that I don't understand.
Oh.
Because then I don't try to listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, I listen to music all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm kind of with Darren. Yeah, lyrics kind of will throw me off, and so podcasts definitely do.
Ironically, it's when there's mic breaks for the DJ that it disturbs me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he says
nothing.
What's
that mean? What's a mic break?
Like when there's no music and they're talking on...
Like on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, I listen to KEXP, so that's... Yeah.
I gotcha. Actually, when I work at KEXP... That is a little distracting.
The annoying part?
They start talking.
I like that. We're pro KXP, I think, or at least I am, for sure.
Another thing here, some more musical theater. I don't know if I know that many more musical theater songs that I can actually sing. Although, my buddy and I have this running bit with, you know how they did the live, or not the live, but like the movie version of Les Miserables, and the actors actually sang, and Russell Crowe was not very good.
Yes. I remember this.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a particular song that my buddy and I continuously, and he sent it to me the other night, and it was
Look Down?
No, not that one. It's called Stars. It's quite poor. Okay. But he he sent me this video the other night. It was just like a black screen, but with that song playing. And then all of a sudden there was light, and it was just zooming in on his dog going to the bathroom. It was like oddly really fitting. It's really funny. Oh man. So maybe I'll that's what I'll do. I'll plan to sing that one in the style of Russell Crowe at the end. So
there you go.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Good luck.
So okay, now you guys can go ahead and look at your text message.
Okay, hold on. Do we look at it at the same time, or it doesn't matter?
You'll get there about the same time.
All right, I'm in. Yep.
Okay.
I see what's going on here. Okay.
It's a rough setup there.
So that's my lawn. That's a picture
of
my lawn.
Is that what you call it?
That's like the boulevard area outside of our fence.
Yep.
We see you see the little birds there hanging out.
You start feeding them?
They were feeding themselves out of the lawn. Dude, so.
Wow. Love it.
It's some serious damage though, right?
Okay. Yeah. So we're looking at a.
That looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Patch of grass that is in rough shape.
There's a few of those patches. So there's that one. There's one inside the fence. For a while, I wasn't too worried about that because that's like outside the fence. Everyone brings their dogs to poop on that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, whatever. I don't need to take that good of care of this. But like inside the fence, it's bothering me a little bit because I actually do try to take care of that a little bit more. Okay. So
what do you think? Do you know what this is going to look like come summertime? Because I feel like a lot of grass in Seattle doesn't look very good in wintertime.
My little...
Yeah, some of the neighbors' houses also have crow damage, and it doesn't look great.
But you haven't tried. I just want
to
be clear.
I haven't done anything to get them to go away. I tried clapping them.
I tried get them on your side. Let's be clear.
I just don't think that that's going to work in this scenario. This has probably been too much crow talk. Like if people are fed up from the last 2 weeks of all the crow talk, the fact that we're doing another update on the crows is probably not ideal. And we didn't even reference what we were talking about as we started this, and they can't see the picture. So
maybe this isn't good podcasting.
Maybe not. Anyway.
Well, keep us posted.
It's a lot of damage. Okay. I did look up some non-harmful ways to keep crows away. One of them is to use shiny objects. Yeah. Such as an old CD. So if you're ever walking around your neighborhood and you see a bunch of CDs hung up, that's why. I always wondered. I was like, why do people decorate with old CDs? That's so strange. No, it's to scare off crows.
Do you have any CDs?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I
do. I don't even have a way to play a CD.
You could probably use some DVDs that you don't want.
Have any of those either. Hmm. Why would we keep those if we don't have a DVD player or a CD player? Tough situation.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Embrace
you've
the
got
crows.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally true. And also in the non-literal sense where we're just joking about it, I also have a lot going on. So,
all right.
Beautiful place.
One thing that has been going on is Kraken hockey. Is that a segue-ish?
Yeah. Sure.
They've only played two games since we last recorded. One of them was an incredible, very fun to watch game against the Boston Bruins, in which they came away with a 4-1 win in Boston for the second year in a row. Curtis, how did this one make you feel as a diehard Boston Bruins fan that hates the Kraken?
You got me with that. I wasn't really listening, and then I heard it on delay. This was a pretty nerve-wracking one because every point is so important for the Kraken at this point. And they came out and they had the Kraken had a couple decent shifts at the beginning, but 6 minutes or so into the game, they could have been down 3-0. You know, the Bruins were all over them getting prime chances. And so it was a nerve-wracking one to watch. But in terms of the heartstrings, wasn't that close a call for me. I was pulling for the Kraken 2 points, and they got there in the end.
Yep. So it is interesting that they didn't play outstanding hockey in this game. They got great goaltending from Joey Decord. He was like unbelievable. And then Matty Beniers had a big game. Both the hometown kids, it's like they prefer to play in front of their home fans or something, but it was pretty impressive performances by both players. And Matty, he looks a little different all of a sudden. Like, I think he's kind of figured it out. I thought this game against Detroit, he looked a lot better too, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, Decord, he was so good. And the only goal that he gave up in that game was a second after he made what would have been the save of the game on David Pastrnak. And the puck just happened to go back to him, pinball off of Jamie Oleksiak, and then go in. And he got some good luck, too. Like, this is one of those things that we've talked about a few times where sometimes the puck is just hitting you as a goalie. He had two or three posts. He had a play where James Van Riemsdyk had a wide open net and pushed it behind him and out the other side. There's just nights where the other team just can't score on you, no matter what, even when they have open looks. And that's how this night went for Joey Decord. So it was a good night. And Matty Beniers had a goal and two assists. And and they had that goal off the 3-on-1 after Monte Carlo. Is that his name? Monte Carlo?
Don't think so.
Fell down at the blue end.
Brandon Carlo. Yeah.
Could have sworn it was Monte. Have I told you guys my Monte Carlo story, by the way? Do I want to already go off the rails again after we just did all that?
Well, how long is the story?
It's maybe, I could get through it in 45 seconds.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay, I feel like we're playing Name That Tune, right? Like,
by the way, do you know Brandon Carlo played Tri-City Americans?
No.
Okay, go on.
Actually, I might have known that. That rings a bell, yeah. Now that you mention it. So during my semester abroad, or maybe at the very end of my semester abroad, my buddy and I, everybody was going to like travel around Europe for, you know, a couple weeks. My buddy and I decided to do a romantic cruise in the Caribbean, which was quite comical when we got on, because it was us and just like nothing but 60 plus people, and we're like college kids there.
Oh my gosh. Up, right? Oh, that's awesome. Amazing.
But one of the stops was Monaco / which is where Monte Carlo is. And so we're like, oh, we got to walk into Monte Carlo and just check it out, right? So we go in, I'm wearing a trucker hat, which was the style at the time, and a zip-up hoodie, and I had a backpack and like baggy jeans. And we walk in and every single person in there is wearing a tux.
Oh my gosh.
And as we're walking in, there's a person at the door in a tux that says, sir, can I take your coat? Like referencing my zip-up hoodie, right?
Oh my gosh.
And we walked in, looked around, and I was like, I don't think so. I think we're good. We just turned around and walked right back out. So
that is awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. I've been to Monte Carlo. It was a great experience.
That's incredible. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever go there in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know what circumstance would get me there.
Yeah. Well, make sure to bring your tux if you ever go.
That's good advice.
Plan to do some gambling. So, so that's the Bruins game. And then they come.
I mean, one last thing on the Bruins game.
You have something else to say about the Bruins game.
It doesn't have anything to do with the Bruins. Okay. It's Joey Decord's post-game interview was like one of the more like heartfelt, I don't know. It clearly meant a lot to him to play there. And he did get some help. He got some posts in that game. As you said, the James Van Riemsdyk miss. But he was locked in. He was locked in that game. And we're going to talk a little bit about what came next, but I think he put a lot into that game. It just seemed after the game like it meant a lot to him. His family was all there, and he played great. He played great. Same with Matty Beniers. You know, we didn't get that, you know, same type of interview moment, but you know, if you look at the NHL edge tracking data, he's not the fastest player on the team, but he plays the fastest. He has the highest average skating speed of any player on the team.
Interesting. That's a good use of edge player tracking.
There you go.
That's right.
I just feel like it stood out in that game. Like he was everywhere. It's like wherever the puck was, he was always on it. He had an extra jump in that game too, being a Boston kid. So it clearly meant a lot to those two guys. They pretty much carried the team, the two of them.
Who is the fastest skater? I think we've talked about this before.
That is a good question. It might be Tanev or Vince Dunn or that's just highest speed.
When we talked about it last time, I think you said it was Vince Dunn.
I'll consult the old database here, but it's one of those guys. But Beniers has the highest average speed, which kind of makes sense when you watch him play. He's not the naturally fastest, but he's always in motion, always back checking. Always poor checking. Anyway.
So they got the rope-a-dope 4-1 win. It was one of those where they bent but didn't break, so to speak, and just got the opportunistic scoring that they needed. Then they come home. They play the Detroit Red Wings. It's their first game at home since God knows when. It felt like such a long time, right?
Yeah, pre-All-Star break, obviously.
Well, But, I mean, to do the All-Star break, and then they had basically, another week and a half, 2 weeks on the road. So it felt like a very, very long time. They played well, maybe deserved to win based on shot quality kind of analytics and things like that. On the flip side from the Boston game, this one was not Joey's best game. I wouldn't necessarily blame him, but he didn't have the outstanding effort that we've kind of come to expect from him. And to your point, I mean, maybe he put in a lot emotionally into that previous game. It's also just a weird game because you're plan at 12:30. There's no morning skate. Like, things are just different on a 12:30 game day. So that said, you know, it didn't affect him in the Winter Classic or anything like that. So, but yeah, I thought that goal that Moritz Seider scored was probably not his best.
And that went directly in?
I thought so. I was wondering
if it
could have taken a turn off of Tolvanen, who was like partially screening him. Yeah, but it was
not quite.
I thought it was just a Tolvanen screen. I didn't see it deflect.
I didn't even think it was I thought Tolvanen was on the outside of the lane.
But. Yeah, and Joey almost looked like he was a little off his angle on that too. Yeah, so okay. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'd be curious to ask him if it took a bounce. But then the other thing was, it just seemed like pucks were kind of like bouncing off of him in ways that we don't usually see.
Right. That's kind of what I noticed. Like, I mean, other than the Seider goal, I don't think they were like bad goals, but he just did not look in sync.
Quite as razor sharp as we've come to expect. So yeah, I agree. But in this game, Jared McCann had two goals. The team did battle back and battle back and battle back. Jaden Schwartz got the tying goal. Yep. I'd said it three times.
That's right.
Yeah. They went to overtime, and I think for me, the big miss here is that they had that late power play and couldn't do much of anything with it. They only got basically a couple shots from the point, 16 seconds of it carried into overtime, and I think they just had one more shot kind of from the perimeter, and then that was it. And then you kind of knew that it just felt like winning goal was coming the other direction after that. So, and sure enough, that's what happened. One thing we haven't talked yet about is a certain former Seattle Kraken scored the third goal for the Detroit Red Wings.
It's true.
Ding dong. It was Daniel Sprong. That wasn't clear.
It was Daniel Sprong. Yeah. Yep.
I joked, the Twitter intern was joking that if we did a ding dong, it needed to be like a sad kind of a tone, right? Like, ding dong, it's Daniel Sprong. So, are you ready for my hot take from this game?
I'm able and willing. Yeah.
Okay. Depends how hot it is.
This hot take is somewhat relevant to the whole season, actually.
Okay.
I think the Kraken made a pretty decent sized mistake by letting Daniel Sprong go. I think that he brings an element deep in the lineup that they simply don't have. And as much as you think like, how much did the fourth line really help them? They did score relatively often enough that on nights last season, when the main guys weren't going, the guys who normally score were not scoring, the fourth line would come through and score. And they were just dangerous enough that I think other teams had to pay attention to them. This season, it doesn't seem to matter who they have in the quote-unquote fourth-line role. Right now, Tomáš Tatar has been on the fourth line, and they're certainly not producing, right? It doesn't seem to matter who's on the fourth line. They do not produce offensively.
Yeah. So this is just a mind's eye type of thing. But with Daniel Sprong, it seems like his game isn't really tied to how the team around him is playing necessarily. He's just kind of like in basketball, he's kind of like an isolation scorer. It's just like he's a lot about breakaways or his specific shot. And I can imagine, we'd have to go back and look at this, but I can imagine his impact might have been outsized just in the sense that team around him isn't playing well. It doesn't affect Daniel Sprong. He's going to go do his thing, you know?
Well, and he only played like, 11, 12 minutes, and he'd get out there and he'd have super fresh legs and he'd fly around and he'd have
hair on fire, just go
scary shot, you know? I once heard him described as a great 100-foot player, which I thought was a pretty funny thing. But, you know, I asked Coach Derek Lalonde about this of the Red Wings this weekend. I went to their practice and I was just like, you know, how's his fit been? And he was raving about him. He's like, you know, everybody knew coming in that like the defensive side of the game isn't his forte and it doesn't come necessarily instinctively to him, I think is what he said, but it's something that he's been actively working on and he can be a game breaker at times for us. And I mean, you almost saw that right in this game. Like he almost had the game winning goal and it was obviously a really important goal. So I just think they should have kept him. That's all. I think they should have kept him. That's my hot take.
I mean, it's hard to argue with the production that is missing this year that he doesn't have.
And he has been scoring again this season too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But do you think that fourth line would have been as good as last year?
One thing I don't know about is like how much of the fourth line was the mix of the three players versus just him, right? Because like clearly I don't think they're bringing back all three of those guys. Maybe geeky and sprong together. I think it, I was not at all surprised to see Donato go, right?
And yeah. Donato got 2 years. Sprong got one. That's the interesting one, right? Yeah. Like you'd think, and maybe he was hoping for more.
Well, and they
and
paid
didn't
him,
really want to come back again.
He got $2 million.
Yeah. But 1 year.
Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, who did the Kraken replace him with, would you say?
Well, I think the easy one now is Tatar.
Okay.
But Kyler Yamamoto, yeah. I guess.
But that was the right. league minimum.
No. He's on a $1.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they essentially, I think they thought they could put together, we've talked about this before, but I think they came into this season with kind of a different fourth line. It yeah. wasn't going to be that.
It was a traditional fourth
yeah, it
line.
Wasn't Morgan yeah. Geeky and Daniel Sprong anymore. Donato. It was Pierre-Edward yeah. Belmar, who's more of a checker, you mm-hmm. know, at this point in his career, certainly.
And I just think if you're a team that's going to try to come in waves because you don't have a true first line, then you need to have a fourth line that's also dangerous. Now, in theory, with Tatar, they should be closer to that now. But for whatever reason, I don't think that's really working yet either to have him on the fourth line. I also don't love him on the fourth line because that's exactly where he was in Colorado and he just kind of whittled away there. So
I think he's looked all right.
Yeah.
On the fourth line. He doesn't look as dynamic because he's playing with Tanev, who's not. Tanev brings a different element, and I don't think they complement each other super well. But, and then they're rotating Yamamoto and
Cartier
yeah. out. So I just don't think Tatar's been given that much, but I think they're better with him on the fourth line right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. That's my hot take. We wanted to play a little game
Real quick. I do want to comment. So the Detroit game was the 16th overtime game for the Kraken this year, and they've lost 11 of those 16.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's very tough. Good.
That's not great.
Mm-mm.
So,
not great, Bob.
No. That's 11 points that they somewhat left on the table. Now, they're not going to win them all, but it'd be nice to have
maybe five of those.
Yeah.
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 Six of them.
Puts you in a different spot.
Sure right? does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Just want to call that out.
Okay. So, we wanted to play a quick game of buy, sell, or hold, and you only want to do two players?
Two players and then some okay. playoff.
Two players and then some playoff.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
Oh, okay. So, the two play. Are you? Do you want to run this then?
Sure, I'll
okay.
run it.
Okay, take yeah. it away, John.
Okay, buy, sell, or hold. We haven't done this.
All right.
It used to be a staple, but
we used to do this all the time,
yeah.
way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So buy, sell, or hold.
We used to do this with guests. We could guess.
Yeah,
something.
That's
we're
right.
play buy, sell, or hold.
Right.
They're like, okay, what does that mean? Like, I don't really know. Like, what's it mean to hold? Like, I don't know.
I think we did it with Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, I think so too.
I probably did it with JT Brown, actually. Mm. Okay, buy, sell, or hold. Jordan Eberle is on the team after the trade deadline.
Bye.
That's a real what does hold mean situation. Yeah, I'll buy that as well.
I think if you were uncertain, like you wanted to say, let's see what happens over the next few weeks, then you would be a hold. But
okay, well,
I think either way,
thank you for that clarification. I think then I will change my answer.
Mm-hmm.
My final answer will be hold.
So okay. you still think they might sell?
I think it's
they
possible.
They might sell. So you're holding.
I think it's all about what... Exactly. You
should have thought this through.
I think it's all about what the offers are, right? I mean, there've been some rumors
no,
around
gotta
teams.
You got to do buy, sell, or hold, right? Not
no,
the
no, no, no. I know. I'm holding.
Will
defense.
He be on
yeah.
the
I'm
roster?
Holding, okay.
I'm holding.
Yeah.
Yeah. John?
Oh, you can provide context.
I'm buying that they will hold him.
Yeah.
And you're buying that they will hold him. Because right. I think
and
they're
not selling him.
I think they're gonna
yeah.
I think they're gonna get a deal done.
I
asked
know.
Him about it after practice the other day and he reiterated once again, like he said, you know, my priority is playing hockey, helping this team get into the playoffs, but he then said, I hope something gets done. So I think usually when a player comes out and says that and it's a productive player, I think he's staying.
I see. Here's where I think where you and I differ. I think okay. it's reasonably possible that there is no deal by the trade deadline, and he is still on the team.
Okay.
With
oh
with,
yeah, with that's what I
okay,
think too.
Okay. Okay.
But right. they're still working towards a deal. Is my point right? I think they trade him if they don't think there's a fit.
Yeah.
Like they don't necessarily want him back, or they don't think they can sign him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they trade.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
I think. Even if they don't have a deal done by the deadline, I think that they still believe or will believe that they can get a deal
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Okay. Spicer hold Alexander Winberg is on the team after the trade deadline.
Did I go first last time?
You did.
Okay, you go first this time.
I'm going to sell that.
So you think he's not on the team?
They're going to sell him, right? Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to sell that. Yeah. Correct. I agree. Sell.
I think I'm a hold, right?
Kind of depends.
It depends on the team performance in that regard, right? Okay. Not necessarily on the offer.
Okay, that's a good point. I'm a sell plus. Between sell and hold.
You're a soft sell.
I'm
a
sell plus. I thought that was like a double sell. Like you're selling them twice.
No.
No, okay.
I'm like between medium rare and rare, like rare plus.
North
whatever.
And northwest.
Is that a
north
thing?
Northwest.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Medium plus. I think people say that.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So, all right. I'm a hold. I think if the team's still in the playoff contention that they're going to hold on to him, just like instead of doing a rental, they basically hold on to him. Now, that said, I think Shane Wright's pretty close to ready to come up. And
But he is hurt.
Is he back already?
I haven't seen him back.
Yeah.
They had him day to day, so maybe he's back. I don't know.
Yeah, they played yesterday. So, okay. Last buy, Sarah Hold.
I will just say I don't think he's going to re-sign here. That's my thought.
Are we talking about Winberg still?
Winberg.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't ask me why I want to sell, so.
Okay.
That's my guess. Just my gut is I don't get the same sense where it sounds very genuine from Eberle that he wants to stay and he wants to get a deal done. Whereas Winberg, I spoke with him about it the other day and it felt more like he has nothing but good things to say, right? He's like very positive about Seattle. It's been a great experience for him. It's been a good fit, but it's just not like how Eberle is very straightforward, like, yeah, I want to be here, right? For Winberg, it's more like, yeah, well, let's see what happens. You know, I don't want to comment too much on like contract type stuff. So that's totally overreading it.
Yeah. I don't think there's a fit because of Shane Wright in the wings.
Yeah.
I think I've said this before that he's sitting in Shane Wright's spot. Mm. And if Shane Wright, if they believe in Shane Wright's going to be ready for the team next year, which I think he is, I think that's his spot. So, okay.
Is this a good spot to mention the New York Post article on Alex Winberg?
I think it probably is.
Drop that in.
Go for it. Yep. Go for it.
You want to go?
Yep, sure. There was New York Post, Larry Brooks had a story that suggested that the Rangers and the Boston Bruins have expressed some interest in Alex Winberg, but the cost will be high, is how he put it.
Yeah.
You know, no specifics there, but just kind of two potential suitors there for Alex Winberg.
I haven't talked about it on the podcast, but I've talked about him going to the Rangers with multiple people only because total speculation on my, so don't, it's not like I know insider information, but because the Rangers need centers, two of them. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like a really good fit in New York.
And of
so.
Course the Bruins lost Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. So they could certainly,
but they
use
got more, but
they got more geeky.
So they're fine.
Well, there's a natural trade fit.
And
let's
Trent
bring
Frederick,
him back.
Right. Is he, Trent Frederick on the
Trent
center?
Frederick as well. Yeah, they could.
Is Charlie Coyle a center too?
Charlie Coyle is, yeah.
There you go. What do they need a center for?
But they have played both Trent Frederick and Morgan Geekie on the wings. This is not a Boston Bruins podcast. I'm just saying.
It's heading there.
Yeah.
But
can you keep it up?
I think there's a fit on both those teams. Boston has virtually nothing in the way of draft picks in the coming drafts. So,
well, the Rangers, I think there's talk on, I think 32 Thoughts was talking about where the Rangers, because the draft will be at the Spheres in Vegas, which is a Madison Square Garden property.
Oh, yeah.
And Dolan wants to keep the first round pick. So he's got some fanfare there.
I mean,
it's insane. But
when they said that, my mind was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But if they want to give a
but
first
if the
round
cost
draft pick
is high,
for next
that's
year,
what the first,
that's, I'm fine with that too.
Speaking of the Spheres,
yeah.
Did you hear the story about
the Predators?
The Predators?
Yeah.
Is that's a public story?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hear about this.
The Predators were supposed to go see U2 at the Spheres, and they lost like 9-2 at home to the Stars. And Andrew Brunette had a post-game presser where he said, like, I just don't think our minds are on the game or something like that. Like, we can't be thinking about vacation. And what he was referencing was they were going to go see U2 at the Sphere.
They were going to fly into Vegas one day early
to
see U2 before their Golden Knights game.
Mm. And Andrew Brunette canceled it.
Yeah.
He said, like, you can't go.
Amazing.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anywho, one last note on the Larry Brooks story about Winberg. I thought it was really funny that if you clicked on the tweet for the story. The first two responses, one was from a guy named Brett with a Rangers logo as his avatar. It says, Wennberg, definitely not worth a first rounder unless someone like Eberle is included. Second response, a guy named Vic, Eberle and Wennberg for a first plus. People will complain, but it's one-stop shopping. So what do you think? Eberle and Wennberg together for a single late first rounder?
I think we already said no.
Yeah, I think that's probably a no.
It's so absurd.
Yeah. Fans, huh?
I mean, yeah. I would expect both of them, well, I don't know. We don't need to get into that again. We've already talked
about
it.
I'm sure we'll talk about it again, too.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I mean, it's the same story with Calgary. They kind of shot down these bundle-type offers because they thought they could do better on their deals separately. I feel like the Kraken will probably do the same with players of this magnitude. Now, if it's like a Justin Schultz and Jordan Eberle package, you know, you could imagine something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway,
or
I also it's Colin also going to be
Blackwell and Mark Giordano.
Right. But that's more what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a late first rounder too if it's coming from the Rangers, the Bruins.
Right.
So it's basically like an early second almost.
Well, the thing is, it's probably not going to be a draft pick coming from the Bruins. They really don't have any.
Okay. Well, but interesting. Brad Marchand. Future Seattle Kraken. The
did
deal is one for one.
Did you see in the Bruins game? He just has some type of tick, man. Like Matty Beniers was changing, just going off the ice, and Brad Marchand just grabbed him by the arm and spun him around just because he can't help himself. That guy, I love
and
him.
And that's it. We're a Bruins podcast.
Yeah,
it happened.
There we go.
The transformation is complete.
I was talking about Matty Beniers. Okay.
What's the last buy, sell, or hold, John?
Okay, last buy or sell or hold.
Or hold.
Yeah.
Will the Kraken qualify for the playoffs?
With every passing game, I would say buy or I would say sell, depending on what happened on the previous game, because that's just like how things have felt after the Islanders.
There is a third option.
And the Boston. Okay, I'll hold. I'll hold, but it's like I'm teetering on not believing it anymore. But I believed it 4 days ago.
I hear you.
If you asked me this after the Bruins game, I would have said buy.
As long as, as long as there are take backs, it's a sell for me.
Sell?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually a buy now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the team's playing a little bit better.
They played well against Detroit.
And I think the teams that they're competing with
are catchable.
And they're not playing that well. Or they're not as good as the Kraken are when they're fully healthy.
I think that's right. I think that's true.
And I do think the Minnesota game on Saturday is going to be pretty big. You know, I talked about the impacts of the St. Louis game, or we've talked about the St. Louis game about a month ago, about how it's really a 3-point swing because you give St. Louis two points and you only get one.
Yeah,
that could be a similar scenario against the Wild. So I think that game's, you know, again, it's not the do or die game, but it will have an impact. So I'm a buy, and I'm starting to believe that. Based on the quality of the opponents that they're kind of competing against, I think they're gonna do it.
Okay,
I like that. I like that.
All right, and I'm usually
I
an
like
analytics
the optimism,
person.
John.
Yeah, I know you don't usually get it from me.
I know.
Yeah,
but I mean, you could be right. It's all about how big of a streak can these guys go on? Because I mean, right now they do have points in three in a row. If that game the other night was a loss, right? But they got a point out of it, which they have to.
And they came
points.
From behind a couple times, which I thought was impressive.
Yeah.
So. Three times, actually.
I'm just going to give you one bonus buy, sell, or hold.
Oh, whoa. Is it a round of, is as long as it's about the Bruins
or Crows?
Yeah.
Or,
can we make it about the.
I talked about the musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
Who was I talking about as the singer? Russell Crowe.
How about that?
Oh,
mind
my,
blowing.
This is
I bet the listeners put that together before now.
Yeah, I know.
If you could see my face right now, folks. I didn't make the connection
he blew
until
his
just
own
this
mind
moment.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
Wow. But anyway,
bonus.
Buy, sell, or hold. Brandon Tanev has the highest speed achieved on ice for the Kraken this season.
That is not a buy, sell, or hold.
Well,
I'm gonna
is it true,
sell.
False, or I guess
it's really more like a
difficult.
Trivia. I'm going to go with sell.
You're going to sell that?
I'm going to hold just to spite you.
Oh.
Yeah, well, hold doesn't make much sense. I looked it up. It's just a... Take the pin out of that earlier conversation. Brandon Tanev is the fastest.
Ah,
yeah. Sorry.
Dang it.
Anyway,
I think we
on.
Did a Let's Get Quizzical where you asked us those
Yeah,
kinds of
yeah. That
That's
was,
really
yeah,
more of
that
a quizzical.
Was early in the season.
Than,
it's like, it reminds me of
hold,
the.
But.
the Root trivia. Yeah.
The Root hat trick.
We like, haven't talked about that. Yeah.
Hat trick trivia, yeah, where it's just...
It's like, how many hits are they going to have in the third period? That's, you're like, what?
That's not trivia.
Oh, it's man. Great, though. I love that.
Yeah. I just want it to be known that the folks that work on the Root Sports Broadcast, we like you a lot. So just want to point that out quickly.
Do you think we can speed that disclaimer language up like it's the end of a car commercial?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Or like the Cialis commercial. It's like, yeah. Take this. So-and-so lasting longer than 4 hours.
All right.
Shifting gears, I had a story on soundofhockey.com. I think I alluded to this not that long ago about UW hockey turning to Division One, or would it turn to Division One now that UW. Yeah. I don't want to offend anybody with that. That UW, University of Washington, could go to Division One now that they're part of the Big Ten Conference. There's a lot of speculation about that. Could that happen? Well, I did some digging. I asked around. I spoke to friend of the pod, Mike Snee, to understand what it would take. I reached out to the director of athletics office, expecting that no one would respond to me. And to my shock, the athletic director actually spoke to me for about 15 minutes, which was incredible. So Troy Dannon really gave me some good insight about, you know, the real hurdles that it would take. And in no super unclear terms, he said there's really no serious conversations happening on this right now. But the challenges are they need to have equity, meaning the same opportunities for male and female sports. So if they were to add, and it is worth noting that we're really more talking about, if you're talking about Big Ten hockey, you are specifically talking, at least in current state, about men's hockey, because there is no women's Big Ten conference. Yeah. Right. So, but if you're going to add a men's hockey team, you're probably going to add a women's hockey team as well. So that's challenge one, is you're not just talking about adding one sport. You're talking about adding multiple. Challenge two is money. And Mike Snee, who, by the way, he's the executive director for College Hockey Incorporated. They're the organization that, A, promotes college hockey, but also does the feasibility studies for new programs if they're interested in potentially adding college hockey. So he said that his very rough estimate was that they'd need about $160 million, I believe. So you need a massive donation. I mean, it's not one of those things where, like, you can just fund it by taking away from some other program or whatever. You can't do that.
Right.
And one thing that Troy Dannon told me also is that it's really not able to fund itself. Yes, hockey generates revenue, but not enough to fund itself in the way that football does, and in the way that he called it out, that men's basketball to some degree funds itself, but certainly not like football, right? So those are really the only two sports nationally that generate that kind of revenue. So it was a very interesting conversation. It was a long way for me to write and say, no, college hockey probably isn't coming anytime soon. But it is something that they're at least like aware of, right? Oh, and the third challenge, of course, is an arena. So if you think about the arena issue, there is no real suitable place for a Division I hockey team to play right now. They can't play at Climate Pledge. It's way too big. It would not work. They can't play at Kraken Community Iceplex. It's too small. It's just not designed for that. It is great for ACHA, but it's a practice arena, right? It's not a true Division I arena. And the junior arenas are just too far away. So I don't see them playing in any of those places. So I do think they would have to either build a new arena or else like totally gut the basketball arena, which I don't know if that's
realistic thing
that they could do.
The 160 million figure actually included the arena itself too, right? Okay, that was a...
Yeah, because it would be like, well...
100 or...
The thing is, he was going off of like Augustana in Sioux Falls.
Right.
And they just built an arena that I think he said is around 80 million.
You're right.
But that's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, right? So like you have to figure the price tag is way bigger in Seattle to have the same bells and whistles.
Right, but they're... I mean, theoretically, you would use the land that UW already owns.
Yeah.
So that's... The price of land kind of comes out of that.
Okay.
But it would be still more expensive to build here, I'm sure. I think it was an incredible article. And, you know, like we talk about some of those things before, right? The funding and stuff like that. But to break it down like you did, and, you know, you basically had you talked to a bunch of people to kind of help you break it down and to get specifics on those dollars and exactly what the equity thing I've known about but never really thought about mm-hmm. too much. And then I also thought it was interesting when you talked to the UW AD, kind of talked about the NIL still being, you know, he didn't call it out specifically, or you didn't call it out specifically in the article, but it's not stable. So they don't know the rules and the guidelines. And so it's a little sketchy to add something new when you don't know the long-term impacts of
yep.
how the NIL stuff will play out. So anyway, awesome. You also had great, I thought you had great quotes from Dave Hackstall and of course, Joey Decord. I thought that was really cool to get that their perspective as well. I thought that was really neat. So well done. It was one of our longer reads, but I thought that was great and thorough. So very well done.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Yeah, I've kind of spoiled it for our listeners now if you haven't read the story, but go check it out. I think
it's good. It's, I think it's good, a good quotes read, yeah. and yeah.
But yeah, thanks everybody who did read that, and thanks for the kind words, John. I worked hard on that one, so I appreciate that.
Versus the others, you don't.
No, I just mailed in on everything. Everything else I write. So we do have a segment to talk about, and this segment is everyone's favorite segment, Goalie Gear Corner. Voice cracked a little on that one. Our Goalie Gear Corner this week is Andrei Vasilevskiy, who has a very special set of Bauer gear. Do you guys, seeing the image here, do you recognize who this is paying homage to?
Not Brian Boucher.
No, not Brian Boucher.
There is kind of an X.
Not
as angular as Brian's.
No,
right?
No. This is Nikolai Haviboulin. This is what he wore when he was, during their Stanley Cup run. That's exactly what he wore. So
very nice.
They're like digi printed to look like what he wore, because these are still the smooth fronts, but they're pretty cool. But so they go. I think they go with their new black uniforms that they unveiled, which are kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know. They're fine. But yeah, I really like this. This is a cool setup. It's Bauer Supreme, which they don't make this style anymore, but it's like a blue on the outside, black in the middle, and then silver and white in the five hole. So it's a really sharp look, and like just designed to look exactly like what Nikolai Haviboulin wore many years ago.
Must look nice.
That's our Goalie Gear Corner. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. The Penguins retired number 68 this week for Jaromir Jagr, which he's still technically playing. So a little ridiculous that they'd retire his number at this point. But
indeed.
But they did some funny things. They had him, he warmed up with them, first of all, in full gear.
Practice it gave me four, day mm-hmm. before, too, which is pretty cool.
Which was great. I don't know why they don't do that more often, right? Like, why don't they have these guys come out and skate or practice or whatever? But I thought that was awesome. And then some of the players were wearing mullet wigs, and they were all wearing 68 in warmups. So that was great. He had a very, very funny quote in his speech. At least I thought it was funny. Some might find it slightly inappropriate, but he said, "I want to say thanks to my girlfriend, Dominica. She's too young to remember that I played in Pittsburgh, but I told her all the stories, so don't worry about it." Which is such an absurd thing to say.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But as he said, still a professional athlete now. So
that's true.
Still going.
That's true. Our next weekly one-timer. Jarmo Kekalainen was fired by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Why? What happened? Nothing went wrong during the last year for him.
It's been a tough run.
It has.
The last, how many months here? Six months.
Well, yeah. I think he really kind of put the nail in his own coffin with the Mike Babcock thing.
Yep.
Mike Babcock. And then the team just hasn't been good, you know, this year. I don't think. I don't know
if they were supposed to be good.
No, but like they were supposed to be good after they brought in Johnny Gaudreau.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they haven't been good since then. And they've just had various player issues too. And it just seems like they just need a fresh start. It seems like they need a fresh start.
He's probably not the longest tenured GM, but he's been there like 11 years, which is a really long time.
He has?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We might need to, I don't know if it's still going to be interesting, but I bet our best friend will have thoughts about this at some point. I haven't talked to her about
it. Yeah, I know, but that's a little tough to put her on the spot to talk about.
Which is what's wrong with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and was this a good firing or a bad firing?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard he's actually a pretty good person. Uh-huh. So that's always stinks.
And their system's supposed to be pretty strong. Like they could be good soon, but
yeah, when you suck long enough, good. Eventually, yeah, you're gonna have a good system.
But I mean, Adam Fantilli, number two overall.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of talk about this being a good job to get, right? It's like kind of, you know, Kekalainen was there for a long time, had a long runway. The next year will probably have the same,
right?
Solid fan base, but kind of not in the limelight. You could really, you know, kind of like Tampa Bay type of thing. You're kind of just out there and you can
except you're going to win Tampa Bay. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's okay. True.
Speaking of our best friend, our next weekly one-timer.
I was like, what? Oh, got it.
They played Shinny in Mini this week. Yeah, as the Minnesota Wild defeated the Vancouver Canucks 10-7. 10-7.
19 goals. Where have we seen that before? Oh, 17 goals.
If you're into math.
Math, not my forte. Yeah, 17 goals. Where have we seen that before?
Analytics guy in my ass.
It's a legitimate football score.
Yeah.
10-7.
It is. Yeah.
Which, just a reminder for football fans, that's technically 1.5 scores to 1. But it sounds like much higher scoring. But anyway, so the way this game played out, I went back and watched the highlights because I was like, I got to see what happened here. There were 3 hat tricks in this game. At one point, it was 4-1 Vancouver. And then at some point in the game, Minnesota scored, I think, 6 goals in 5 minutes. And so it went from like, oh my God, this game's over. It's 4-1 Vancouver. To it swung so far back the other way that it was like, oh my God, this game's over. It's like 8-5 Minnesota or something like that. And then Vancouver scored the next 2 goals and it like came down to the wire at the end. It was 8-7 for a long time, which is.
Yeah, and then they had 2 empty netters.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. So kind of a absurd game.
In the 9-8 game, Kings Kraken game, were there any hat tricks in that game?
I don't remember.
I think like 8. Different
Kraken form, half the team scored.
I don't know about LA, but
yeah, no,
I don't think
I remember
so.
On the Kraken side, there weren't, yeah, but
yeah, it was interesting. And wouldn't you know, those are the next 2 opponents for the Seattle Kraken. So
scary,
hopefully, maybe, right? It's like you're kind of scared because obviously both of those teams are scoring goals right now. But clearly neither of them are playing very well defensively / getting goaltending, right? Like, one thing that was very apparent is Casey DeSmith, I think, was in goal for the Canucks for, like, most of the goals. And he might have been in the whole game, actually. They might have left him in. Anyway, like, as the highlights went on, you could see him just getting, like, less and less confident. And, like, every puck was just going through him. And, yeah. So, anyway, our next weekly one-timer. Matt Rempe made his NHL debut, former Seattle Thunderbird, and this was interesting because he was the first player ever to make his NHL debut in an outdoor game. It was also interesting why, John.
Well, what do you mean why?
Well, what did he do at the beginning?
Oh, yeah, first shift.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to like. I was hogging the mic a little too
much.
Well,
he did his rookie lap solo. I thought that was pretty fun outdoors. Okay. That was kind of cool.
Yep.
But yeah, first shift right after the Rangers scored. Lines up right across from Matt Martin. First shift drops the gloves and
Matt
fights
Martin,
an outdoor game.
No slouch.
And I thought Rempe held his own, right? And pretty wild first shift. So logged 1 second on ice with 5-minute penalties at one time during the game. Great interview after how Martin basically asked him. He's like, hey, you want to go? Or like, how about a fight? Because he knew... He fight and he's like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll do
he
that.
Fed him his lunch too.
Yeah,
he did pretty well.
Yeah,
yeah. You mentioned in Monday Musings that Andy was a big fan of Matt Rempe, and we should probably call out that Andy's birthday was this past week.
Yep.
So I was very thankful that the Kraken let me write a story about him.
That was awesome. It was great to see. You didn't even tell me you were doing that, so it kind of surprised me.
Yeah, so check out the NHL.com/crack, and I had a story about Andy. Just if you've listened for a long time, you've heard the stories that I told in that article. But yeah, just tried to kind of capture how our relationship was, and really like the one thing that truly connected us was hockey. So those are our weekly one-timers, and we close the show with our tweets of the week. Curtis, do you have a tweet of the week?
I do. Mine's from Will Scouch. At Scouching. Good follow if you're interested in the draft or kind of analytics, kind of you know, kind of looking at the game in a different way, okay. You know, kind of tracking the game and kind of trying to dig in a little deeper. But this has nothing to do with that. He says this is in relation to Matt Rempe and what you were talking about with the fight after 1 second. This was after that. He says, stop the count. Matt Rempe has the highest penalty minutes per 60 in history. By my count, 5 penalty minutes in 1 second scales to 18,000 penalty minutes per 60. Nobody would ever mess with the Rangers again.
what if he never played again? Right?
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. Before I read my tweet of the week, I almost forgot this, but I need to shame you, Curtis.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh. Ready?
Uh-oh.
Shame. So Deep Sea Hockey tweeted a Sea Kraken prospect check-in. Mm. Carson Rakoff leads the OHL in goals, 45 after two today. Mm-hmm. David Goyet leads the OHL in points with 90. Mm. Jagr Furkas leads the entire CHL in points with 94 and is on a 26-game point streak, longest in the CHL this year.
Seems
Deep
like
Sea Hockey follows that
there.
Up with, and I apologize to Jagr, whose streak came to an end after... About an hour after this tweet.
Oh, man.
Just rough stuff. I didn't even know he was playing at the time.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So it's still an incredible run. He had a point in every game he played from November 25th through February 17th.
Okay, you just said it. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
3 months of scoring right there.
Pretty good run, and all it took was for Curtis to tweet about it. So.
Yeah, my bet. I'm sorry, Jagr.
Yeah, my actual tweet of the week comes from best friend of the pod, so... Sound of Hockey Twitter intern tweeted the Seattle Kraken's next two opponents played shinny hockey today, and it's just the 10-7 score between the Wild and the Canucks. And she responded with just a GIF that says, "I have been summoned."
she's got an alert for shinny hockey. Man. She must.
Yeah.
Made me laugh really hard. So, John, do you have a tweet of the week?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, guess that's tweets of the week then.
Yeah, it is. Oh, the outro.
Mm-hmm.
And that wraps up 275 of the Sound of Hockey podcast. We thank the return reviewer and keep us posted on that dissertation. Good luck. Next week, if you want to hear your review heard on the Sound of Hockey podcast, you can review us on Apple Podcasts with a 5-star review. Stick Taps for Andy. Go Kraken. And that's about it. God. And go watch... Les Mis.
Fallen from grace.
God.
God be my witness. I never shall yield till we come face to face.
Oh, man.
He knows his way in the dark. Mine is the way of the law. Those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. Okay. Right. And if they fall as Lucifer fell,
this is what
I'll fall in flames.
The best part is at the very end when he goes, safe behind bars.
Oh, man.